I'm Van Simmons. I work at the North American Mission Board. That's the mission agency for Southern Baptist for the United States and Canada. And so, really, I want to spend most of our time talking about Canada, but we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, really. Darren over here is a pastor and a campus minister here in Colorado, but also was with us on a recent vision tour in Canada and has real heart passion for Canada. Tell me, let's just talk a little bit about why did you come to this workshop? Now, Jason, you served in Canada a couple of summers. Okay.
God's really placed a calling in my heart, a passion for the Canadian people.
Good. Josh?
Me and my wife have actually applied for NAM.
Right.
And
we met at Collegiate Week at Glorieta.
Yeah, we did. And right now we're in the process. We're talking. And we'd like to go to Canada and... beautiful
country, and I work with youth in college kids, and well, I'd
love to work from there, wherever God can use us.
Okay.
You know,
maybe
stay in America.
Okay. So. But you all live here in Colorado now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right
now. Great.
All right. Hey, for me, it's a little bit different. I don't get very much time off of schooling, so I have about a month this summer, and they're kind of odd times. And, I'm looking to do missions somewhere. I don't know quite where. Right now I'm looking just to see where God can take me. So I knew Focus didn't have anything less than 4 weeks, and so I thought I'd come see what you guys
okay.
have and
great.
Word about you guys. So.
Good. Well, we can, the short story is if we can, generally we provide round-trip airfare or transportation to and from the field if you give us a month or more. But if you give us a month or less, if you don't have that much time, we'll help you find and make the connections. We can help you find and make those connections anywhere in the United States and Canada. Or the issue of a month or more is basically a stewardship issue. If we're going to pay several hundred dollars for an airline ticket or something like that, that's where we get into that. But we could work with you on that, depending on what your skills and your interest in were and that kind of thing. And Amy, why did you come today?
Well, I've always wanted to go on a mission trip, but I didn't think overseas was something that I wanted to do yet, so maybe
yep.
something more local.
Okay. Good. Yeah, not everybody's ready or called of God to do international, and I think we need to recognize that. So, a couple of thoughts, biblical thoughts here. Look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And many of you, as Max was saying, this is definitely a verse that you ought to memorize if you don't already have it memorized. Does anybody know it from memory? You'll recognize it.
1:8
Acts 1:8. Did I say 8:1?
Oh, no. My dyslexia
is Somebody read that for us.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the
okay, to the ends of the earth. Another translation. When we look at that verse, what immediately comes to mind? What's the progression there? What comes to mind there?
Receiving power.
Okay. Absolutely, receiving power. What else comes to mind? Okay. Yep, that, as it was mentioned last night, you will, okay? Or actually earlier this morning, you will, okay? What else?
Well, it talks about the Holy Spirit comes on you where God's calling you. And you feel the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right. When the Holy Spirit compels you, comes on you, there's a compelling that the Holy Spirit gives us. Right.
That Judea was their home. Where they were from. Right. Samaria was the neighboring country. And then, because it was well known that they were going in a process.
Right.
And that as you move along, that you're going to be my witnesses. Kind of helps me remember where I'm at.
There's a geography involved there, isn't there? Jerusalem. Your hometown, your neighborhood, your community, something like that. Judea, a little further afield. Maybe we could, today we could, maybe we would call that your state. Samaria, North America, and the uttermost parts of the earth, wherever. And yes, there's geography, and yes, there's a compulsion that God gives us, and yes, there's an empowerment. Yes, there's just the fact of you will be witnesses. Even as Joe was talking about, conduct within the hotel. We are witnesses. We will be witnesses. But I would propose to you that not only is there geography involved here, but that God in His providence has brought the nations of the world to us. We used to think of, somebody said it last night, we used to think of, okay, if I'm going to be a missionary, that means I've got to go somewhere far away. And that very well may be what the Holy Spirit may call you or I to do. But God in His providence has brought the nations of the world to us. How many countries or people groups of the world would you say are represented in your college or your community? Take a guess. Just stop and think about that. How many people groups or nations, those are really two different things, nations or people groups of the world are represented in your college or your community where you are? Take a guess. Anybody have an idea? Jason, how about you? Fort Hays. That's not a big place, is it?
No.
How many people live in Fort Hays?
No,
how many people?
I think about 15,000.
And how many people attend Fort Hays State University?
About half the town.
Okay.
So, during the summer, the population drops.
All right. But how many people groups? Take a guess. How many people groups are nationalities?
As far as I know, starting with people who are, of course, white, Hispanic, American Asian people. Then we have Koreans, we have Japanese, we have Chinese that go to the college there. There are some people from Rwanda. We have a kid from Kenya. There's also Nepalese.
From Nepal.
Yeah.
Wow. From Nepal to Fort Hays, Kansas.
Yeah.
Now that's a great example of the ends of the earth have come to you, isn't it?
Yeah. I worked at a Catholic high school dormitory. We had two kids from Nepal.
Wow.
And they're going to Butler College now in Wichita.
Well, you got at least 10 or 15 right there that you could just boom, boom, boom off the top of your head. All right. How about you, Josh? In your community?
In our church, we have Russian, Hispanic, Korean, just in our church, the different churches we have, hundreds in Denver alone. I mean, I went to school, and you have, in your sign, you have Korean, Chinese, three different languages in one sign, so it
right
there just tells you how many different cultures, but so many. The world is there.
Okay. All right. How about you ladies? Where do you go to school, Amy?
Boulder.
Okay. So, lots, huh? Okay. Okay. Within a within 15 miles of my house, well, I live in Gwinnett County, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, northeast Atlanta. We're one of the top 10 fastest growing counties in the nation. But within the next county just south of us, toward more downtown Atlanta, there is an elementary school that has over 100 different nations in one elementary school, if you can imagine that. So God in His providence has brought the nations of the world to us. When we think of Acts 1:8, we need to think of the fact that we are witnesses. We need to think of the power that God gives us. We need to think of the Holy Spirit compelling us, coming on us, empowering us. And we also need to think of, as Jeff just clearly said, who are the Gentiles? Who are the people groups? Who are the unique individuals that God has brought into our lives? That God would have me to share the gospel with. I can talk about lots of different options and things around the United States and Canada. I don't know if everybody got one of those, but let me give you one of these sheets right here. One of each of these. This gives you some of the. We're adding more all the time, but these are some of the opportunities to serve this summer in Canada. We'll talk some about those. And then we have some sample list of opportunities around, just in general, around the United States as well. Get one? Yeah, okay. What are some things that you know about Canada? Now, Jason, you've been there. Josh, have you been there? You said God's placed on your heart a call or a sense of...
Oh, I've never physically been there, but
okay.
I have been in contact with many Canadians who
okay.
came down to be here.
Okay. All right. What do you all know about Canada?
It's north.
It's north? All right.
Hockey
is big. Ladies, what do you know? What do you know about Canada?
French and English.
French and English, that's right. They have two national languages. Correct. What's that?
They have universal healthcare.
I'm sorry, I still didn't hear you.
Oh, universal healthcare system.
Universal health care, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. Which would be of interest to you if you were to do that. That's right, universal health care. Good. What else do you know?
Most of the population lives between the border, 100 kilometers from the border.
That's correct. That's right. Take a minute and look at the map on the back. Aaron, I don't know if you got one of those. Look at the map on the very back there, and you will... That's right. Most of the people live within 100 kilometers of the U.S. border. Would you say that Canada is let me ask, what would you say are some of the similarities and differences between Canada and the United States? What are some of the similarities or differences? Similarity. Let's start with that first. What are some similarities between Canada, its people, and the United States?
We share sports.
Okay, we do.
Basketball, football, or hockey.
Hockey, baseball.
Baseball, yes.
Baseball.
Football.
There is Canadian football with a little bit different rules. That's right. Okay. It's the primary language, and it's generally understood even in French-speaking Quebec. You can function even in the French-speaking portion. Okay? What else?
Drive on the right side of the road.
Yeah, they drive on the same side of the road that we do. That's correct. Yeah. Okay. How many of you have been to Canada? Have you all ever been to Canada? All right. So you two have. Okay. Another similarity is they have the same restaurants. If you go to Canada, there's the same kind of fast food. They have Home Depot. They have Lowe's. They have the same stores that you'll find here, you'll find there. Right?
Unless you go to Church's Chicken, don't expect to find the biscuits.
Okay. Okay. What are some differences that you would find between the United States and Canada? Now, you all, the three of you are at a disadvantage, but to the other three of us who have been there. But take a guess. Let's start over here. Take a guess. What do you think are some of the differences?
Quebec all in French.
Okay. It's a predominant French-speaking province. That's correct. Nowhere do we have in the United States even if you go to Texas or border, south border, even there where you may have a large amount of Spanish-speaking people, nowhere do we have a state that is predominantly like a province that is predominantly French-speaking or another language spoken. Good. Somebody else. Take a guess. What are some other differences? What?
Their government functions a lot differently.
That's correct. Their government functions very differently than ours. And we mentioned, Amy mentioned the universal health care. That's clearly a difference to ours. All right? That's absolutely true. And believe it or not, you can go K through 12 in, I don't want to misquote, you can go K through 12 in like 8 or 9 different languages. Which you can go the entire K through 12, actually K through 13, is their educational system is a little bit different, in Arabic or Korean or Chinese. Both types of Chinese, Mandarin or Cantonese, French, obviously, English, and several other languages.
Bad
so,
English.
What?
And bad English.
Yeah, well, all right. How about, can you think of other differences? Now, you guys who've been there, how about for you guys? What are some things that you have noticed that are specifically different?
Well, currency of ours is different. But, there's
loonies and toonies.
Those
are names for those are names for coins. All right. One of them has a duck on it, and since it's known as a loony, and one of them has a I forget why the other one is called the toonie.
Because it's a $2 coin.
Yeah, that's right. All right, that's correct. Toonie, the $2 coin.
There's not a lot of churches around.
Okay.
Where you just drive through these communities.
Not many churches, and certainly not many evangelical churches of any type. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. That's correct. We were talking as people were coming in that one of the largest Hindu temples, Hindu or Buddhist?
Buddhist.
Buddhist temples in the world is located in Vancouver.
I think it's the largest in North America.
Okay. It's huge. It's,
yeah, it is pretty big.
Have any of you ever been to a Buddhist temple? You've been to one? You have, obviously, have you? It's interesting to go to a Buddhist temple and literally watch people burning incense and lighting candles and rubbing Buddha and bowing down on the floor, praying to a large statue of Buddha, to observe in a respectful way, observe someone worshiping, a non-living God is pretty, makes a significant impact in your mind and mind's heart and life. One of the key differences, and I wasn't sure if anybody would pick this up or not, one of the key differences in Canada and the United States is that the United States is known as when we think of let me just see if I can get you to get it. If when immigrants come to the United States, what do we want them to do? What's that?
Assimilate.
And what does assimilation mean? Learn the language, learn the culture, celebrate our holidays, be a part of all that it means to learn to like, learn to like some American foods, learn to like our sports, whatever, to assimilate. We expect that of immigrants in the United States. Canada, a major difference for Canada is that they do not expect that of immigrants. Hence the number of languages in which public school is taught. One of the key differences for Canada and the United States is that Canada is not a melting pot. Canada is viewed as they're a mosaic. That's exactly right. And they view themselves and call themselves a mosaic. It's one of their pride issues that they look down their noses at the Americans about. You Americans make people become like you. And Canadians are very they're very proud in the sense of, we are not Americans. We are Canadians. Don't ever go and imply that they are an extension of the United States. It's like going to Hawaii and saying to a person from Hawaii something about, I'm going to the United States, because Hawaiians view themselves as a part of the United States. You say you're going to the mainland when you go to Hawaii. You don't say you're going to the United States, because you're in the United States. But Canadians are a mosaic. They want people to maintain their sense of native identity, their sense of religion, their sense of culture, and not to assimilate together. That's one of the key things. Now, look at the map again. The numbers on the map indicate where we have projects this summer. We have all sorts of projects across Canada. But notice you've got project number 10 up here in the Yukon. You've got project number 9 in the Northwest Territories. You've got projects 24 and 25 over here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Those are projects where people are, and then you've got some projects over here at Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. Those are projects that are, if you're looking for an extreme opportunity, those are projects where you're going to have, those are projects where you may, like last summer, the team that went to the Northwest Territories, we had, I think we had 3 or 4 girls and 3 or 4 guys. And the girls slept in a travel trailer for 6 weeks, and the guys slept in a tent out back of the travel trailer. There's no churches in that community, and their goal was to find persons of peace to start a Bible study with. The same kind of thing is going to happen in the Yukon. In Newfoundland last summer, we had a team of students who went to Newfoundland. There were no evangelical churches there. And they went looking for persons of peace, and they found a lady who was a believer, and she had been praying for years and years and years and years that God would send someone to help them start a church. Those are the kinds of projects that we have across Canada. And even some of the more traditional ones down in the lower part. Tell us a little bit about City View Baptist Church, where you serve in Vancouver. By the way, this is project number 2 on your list here, for this year anyway.
On Thursdays, they have a lunch for the homeless. Terrible homeless people would always come in for lunch on that day. And I helped out with Bobby, the worship leader there. That was kind of a side extra thing we did. But a lot of our focus really dealt with scouting for big church opportunities and helping the Bridge Church off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And also working with, we did a backyard Bible club deal in a low income community that was near the church. So we did that. That was periodically a week. Day after day, but one thing after another, we were doing.
So you had a variety of different kinds of things that you were trying to work at.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the church, what they did, was they divided the church up into family groups. And Sunday nights, instead of having a service, they would have community times, community group times. So those were really enjoyable.
Good. Look on. Look at number 10, 11, and 12. By the way, the other church he just mentioned called the Bridge Church, that's number 13. 10, 11, and 12 are projects that we call that are part of. Not only do we have projects across Canada, we have some specific projects that are actually very similar to the Project Impact projects. And those are called Current Canada. Those are very much exploration. The one difference is with Project Impact, you go and get a job and you financially support yourself. Current Canada, we actually provide your round trip transportation and a small stipend, that kind of thing. But it's a very intensive discipleship oriented projects. These are number 10 is in exploring the Yukon and the Yukon Territory, and number 11 is in northern British Columbia and Prince Rupert, and you can find that on the number 11 on your map. Number 12 there is in Manitoba, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Darren, help me remember, when we were there the last morning, they were telling us how many churches are west of Ontario and how many are east. Do you remember what that statistic was? Like two.
There's 400 and something in the entire country, Baptist churches.
Right.
And there's some other evangelical churches. I remember I think Manitoba, the entire province had 5. And that's, several million.
If you drew a line from Manitoba, where number 12 on your map is, if you drew a line, and actually if you just put Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia, that little quadrant, That's where the overwhelming majority of evangelical churches are in Western Canada. And if you took the Yukon and the Northwest Territories and Navitut and Manitoba and Ontario and Quebec and the rest of Eastern Canada, there's very little, in many cases, for instance, the Quebecois, who are the French-speaking Canadians, less than 1% of them are believers of any type. Not just evangelical Christians. They don't go to any Christian church. There's no belief whatsoever. They are one of the least evangelized people groups in the world. It's just incredible, incredible. So in terms of Canada, there are opportunities to go with, like you can go to a very traditional situation in Bow Valley, which is one of the largest churches in Western Canada, and do youth and children's ministry. You can go to City View, that Jason's described, and talk, and do kind of church starting with an inner city church. You can go to, number three in Saskatchewan is a more traditional church. But then you've got number four is a, that one you've got to have excellent French language skills because that's in working with French-speaking people in Quebec. You've got Richmond Chinese working with Chinese people group. You've got Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. You've got number nine is the Northwest Territories. It's a native, and actually they don't call them Native Americans. Like here, they call them First Nations peoples is what they call Native Americans in Canada. So it's actually working in a tribal community. Number 10, 11, and 12 are it's a group project that has a strong discipleship emphasis. And you can just follow through the list there. Darren, what kind of other thoughts or comments would you have related to Canada?
Well, you mentioned a while ago the Melton Pot failure versus the mosaic. One of the things about that that seems to be interesting is that if you're just like sharing with people are visiting, they're not afraid to talk to you if you're a Christian. That's different there than it is here. They don't take offense right off the bat. They'll listen, and they're very friendly. Yet, because they think it's your thing, they're also not very receptive, even though they're
willing to listen. They're open to the world of ideas in
so
ways.
The idea of relationships is super important.
Right.
And, the stuff we're doing there, we're helping with about three different church plants. And everything we do there is really long-term. And years and years, we send people to live there and to do those things and develop those relationships. And so I think that's important. I also think it's important, anybody that wants to do an international trip, they might think Canada isn't really, but it's totally international. In fact, if you wanted to do a China trip, just go to downtown Calgary, and it will be like you can spend a summer never hearing English and just hearing Chinese.
That's right.
A certain portion of
Calgary or Vancouver. If you want to do Eastern Europe, if you want to do an Eastern Europe thing, go to Quebec, go to the maritime provinces over here, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Labrador. You will feel like you are in Eastern Europe. It's a coldness and a hardness to the gospel in that environment. Kind of situation. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think as well, I go overseas all the time and take a lot of people on mission trips and things. And one thing I always try to figure out without this is like a secret, so don't tell anybody from my campus if you ever figure out where I'm from. But I always try to figure out, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much structure does this person need to have a successful trip? And, you know, some people are 10, they have to know what time everything's happening, if the schedule changes, they get all uptight. Canada's kind of a 1 or 2 type thing. You need to be the kind of person who can just really work with super flexibility, and then also not needing the support right at the top of you that you get on a lot of different trips. I'm sending one of my students to UConn, and he's going to be 1,200 miles from the nearest person who can help him, you know, do things or can answer questions. And through cell phones and some things are going to help a little bit with that stuff. But you just have to be able to do this stuff on your own, see the big picture, see why it's important to get out someplace and look for a person at peace and realize that it may be 5 or 10 years down the road before everything happens from that. But when you see it kind of start to come together, it's really cool.
I'm usually the kind of person, if you give me a project, I'll go after it. I had a hard time in Vancouver seeing that because to have the time, Craig would we'd sit down and have a meeting together in the mornings to meet first, and then he'd send us off to do whatever. And sometimes it was go out, meet somebody, make relationships. And sometimes I would have a hard time with that because it was just so overwhelming sometimes. So definitely have to be able to.
Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. We sent a girl, Vicky, like 5 summers ago to the Calgary area, and she spent a lot of time in this new, have all these new communities, they call them. And that's just, they just build a new suburban section, and there's some malls and things, there's no churches, a couple schools, and these houses packed in. She went and did a lot of work there, and she met a lot of people, and she came back, she told us, she goes, I don't know what be accomplished. And this last summer she went back with us and we did a bike festival in one of these communities, and they have a church that started from this thing. And of the maybe 18 or 20 people that are part of this new church start that is now 4 years past her time there, she knew half of them, and she just knew them. And you know, they were the Vicky, you're the first one we met when, you know, and so it was just really rewarding for her to be able to kind of see the time she put in with the relationship really paid off. There are people there that kind of follow up, and they're looking for these people that we meet, and they're desperate to find these people. And so we find them, and you just leave, and you go, what did I do? We made that little connection, and so you can start to happen.
Yeah, some of the projects in Canada are more traditional and more structured, like Darren was talking about. But some of the projects are very low structure, as Darren was talking about. The Current Canada projects, the church planting projects in the Yukon and Northwest Territories, those are very low structure.
In other words, they're very prepared for you.
Oh yeah, it's not like you're just thrown to the wolves. You go, there's a strong discipleship emphasis. They have plowed the ground. And there are team leaders. The team leaders for those teams are actually Canadians. They're from the territory. They know the lay of the land. They've been there. And so you're not just thrown to the wolves, but those are projects where you've got to be able to take self-initiative. You've got to see the glass as half full and not half empty, and to really be able to persevere, to form relationships well, and to do teamwork very well. And then there are other more traditional projects where you can go to an established church and do children's ministry or youth ministry or those kind of projects as well. All of those are the kinds of projects that we have. What kind of questions has that raised for you so far? Take a minute, look through the projects that we've got there for Canada, and pick one Which one do you think is most, which one do you, are the projects we have listed in Canada, could you most see yourself in? Just take 2 or 3 minutes and skim those. Which one could you most see yourself in? All right, I know I didn't give you much time, but what did you find a project that you think you could most see yourself in? Ladies, did you all find one? Okay.
I work with a lot of kids, and so I don't know why.
Okay, well, that's fine. All right. Yeah, see, that project, for instance, is basically a 3-week project. I don't know if you noticed that. July 5th through July 26th. That's 20 days. So that's a shorter-term kind of project in an urban setting. Okay. Shelley, how about you?
Yep.
Okay.
As far as the dates go, is that filled all of the dates on it?
For number 5, for Evansburg Baptist Church? No, it says the dates are flexible.
Okay, I didn't know how flexible you guys were, whether it was you wanted to, is it you can come and go at any point? Or?
Yeah, you could probably, we would have to specifically talk to the local field, but you could probably start at any point and end at any point. Just sometime within that range.
Okay.
You guys find one?
I was looking at the Cochran. Yeah.
Number 1 there?
Sure.
Okay. All right. That's a great project. Yep. And they might be able to take a married couple. They might be able to use a married couple kind of situation. So, Jason, what are you thinking? If you were to go back to Canada, which one?
If I was going to go back to Canada, I don't know, I'm pretty partial to Vancouver.
No, that's all right.
Always have been.
I think that's a part of God's calling, and I hope that as you pray through this, part of what I would challenge you with is that you pray specifically, God, place on my heart a people group, a location to which you are calling me. Show me, God, how I can best be used for you. And the other part of that is I would challenge you that to Shelley's about to graduate, so she'll have a degree that she could use in locations around the world, And I don't know about the rest of you where you are vocationally, but wherever you are vocationally, consider what vocation and what location would God have me serve that I could best be used for Him. Because that's a key. Where it's not just a vocation, but even the location. It's easy to go where it's comfortable. But maybe God would have you use your vocation in an area that is a little further afield from family or home. And that would be more, more just like Jeff was talking about. It gives you opportunities to share the gospel in ways that you engage lost people in new and different and creative ways. And be willing to respond to God's call in your life that way. The other sheet I gave you are sample opportunities for just around the United States and Canada. And all of these you can go to You go on the bottom right-hand corner, it has answerthecall.net. If you go to our website, or you can even call us there, if you go to Answer the Call, that's where you actually apply. There, if you go there, click on the tab that says Students, and the online application comes right up. But you can go to Answer the Call, and under the Quick Link section, it'll give you a drop-down. There are over 900 projects around the U.S. and Canada on that website. You can look through and prayerfully look through and see which ones. And there are lots and lots and lots of opportunities. The neat thing is that if you're a member of a Southern Baptist church, we pay your airfare and your the local food field generally pays your food, your housing, and all your expenses. And then we pay you a small honorarium on top of that. So they're just great opportunities out there. The one thing I would challenge every student to do is sometime before you graduate or after you graduate, like I served as a student missionary the summer after I graduated from college. I went from Louisiana, small college town, to Western Maryland on the Eastern Shore. They call it the Eastern Shore, but it's actually the other side of, Western Maryland, Eastern Maryland, the other side of the Chesapeake Bay, and I worked with migrant farm labor, people, immigrants, illegal immigrants primarily, who worked their way up the coast from Florida to Maine in the summertime. And in Maryland, they picked tomatoes and cucumbers. And I would go, the farmers had little huts for them, little shack villages on the back of their fields. And the churches, the Association of Churches, gave me a car and gave me food and clothes and Bibles, and I would go and run the gauntlet. I would go find these little hidden camps in the back of the farmers' fields, and I would lead impromptu worship services and give these people food and clothing and Bibles and share Christ with them. And so that was for a small town college student, recent graduate from Louisiana, talk about a culture shock. I didn't have to go halfway around the world. I found people from Guatemala and South America and Mexico. I didn't know a whole lot of Spanish. I had a year and a half of it in college, but I was just functional enough that I could, you know. And it wasn't just Spanish-speaking people. It was all sorts of ethnicities of people. Let me give you one story that just rocked my world. The crew chief was the linchpin in the migrant ministry. He was the one who negotiated with the farmer on, my crew will come in and pick your crops. The crew chief usually was the only one who had a vehicle. Everybody else, a lot of people showed up. All they had to their name was a pair of jeans, and a lot of times they were shoes held together with duct tape, holes in the blue jeans, and a thin shirt. And we're talking men and women and children. It was a rude awakening because women with children could qualify for food stamps and other government assistance, but they had no way to get to town to get it. And the crew chief would say to these women, sure, I'll take you to town, but you've got to sleep with me first. And the abuse that went on, I was warned not to go into the camps like on payday at night because of the alcohol and the violence and the abuse that took place. That was what Summer Missions was like for me. Summer Missions is an opportunity for you to stretch yourself to learn about people that you may have heard about before, to be challenged spiritually, to be challenged emotionally, to be challenged intellectually, stretched beyond the bounds of what you can dream or what you've seen before. My life verse is 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. If you will commit a summer, at least, you know, as much as you can, a month, God will get a hold of your heart in new and creative ways. God will teach you and stretch you far beyond what you can ever dream or hope or imagine. So I just want to challenge you to prayerfully seek God. What is it that you want? And then secondly, I want to challenge you right where you are to see the nations of the world that God has brought to us. Like we said in Acts 1:8, when we think of the nations of the world that live around us, I want to challenge you to seek out the peoples of the world that God has brought you to, living next to. In terms of just logistics, answerthecall.net and that phone number will get it done. And we'll help you work it all out. Other questions, comments, thoughts that you have? Josh, in terms of you all going to Canada, probably the best person you need to talk to would be Patu Zaliki right there, or Salt Jones. They're the two leaders related to youth ministry across the nation of Canada, and they could give you direction and guidance in that. Yeah. What's that? He is. Sharp guy. Absolutely. He's actually, by the way, another unique fact about Canada. Canada's the only nation in the world that has both IMB, International Mission Board missionaries, and North American Mission Board missionaries serving in the same country. Salt happens to be an IMB missionary. Whereas the national collegiate leader, Mel Cruikshank, is a North American Mission Board missionary. So it's a very interesting thing.
Greg Idell. Yep. Actually,
he's
both. So.
He was talking about, he was actually associated with both. Yeah, he is. That's right.
Good. And another thing, what's the possibility is a seminary there.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a great seminary and gets you into the culture for a couple of years and you meet the just almost everybody that you need to meet. You just know what you want to do after that too. So.
Great opportunities to go to school there. Absolutely. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your grace, and I thank you for those who come, and I do pray for wisdom and discernment in their lives. And if we can help facilitate their sense of call, their sense of leadership from you, then, God, we want to do that. We thank you for your grace and pray your blessings in their lives and in the rest of this conference. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.